Good morning, everyone. Welcome. How great it is to be in worship with you. And if you're visiting with us, a very special welcome to you. Call your attention to the bulletin you have insert this morning about Community Wednesday and the Asbury Fall classes and activities. And also want to remind you today's Tag Sunday, Name Tag Sunday. If you need one. Morning, Chase. If you need a name tag, if you will see Anita Curtis, raise your hand, Anita. She'll be out where the usher stand is after this service, and she will take your order so that you can get your name tag. A lot of the great things going on in the life of the church. We remind you there's information in there about stewardship cards. If you haven't turned yours in, please, there's some in the narthex, and you can fill it out and turn it in. A lot of great things going on in the life of the church. Let's take a moment and greet and welcome one another to worship.
Let us be standing for our opening hymn of worship. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee.
Thank you.
affirmation of faith this morning is on the first page of your bulletin. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen.
Good morning. We are going to this morning first be able to present to our new third graders their Bibles. This year we will be giving out the Adventure Bible, and it's the NIV Reader's Version, and it's especially for those who are learning to read. It has great information about the people and places in the Bible, and so we are very excited. We have three that will be given away this morning. I ask that when I call your name, if you will come forward with your parents. The first one is Aaron McNamer. The second one is Eric Tribbett. And then we also have his brother, Jonathan.
Today we celebrate a special event. The presentation of Bibles to you, our third graders. The Bible is a very special book because it contains the story of God and of the persons who loved and followed God. We as the church believe this story is an important one for you to hear and experience as you explore, learn, and discover your Bible. We hope that you will not only be reading of the happenings so long ago in a faraway land, but will also begin to see yourselves as God's people in today's world. Parents, will you assist these children in your homes, guiding them as they study, sharing your understanding of the story of faith, and giving them the opportunity to benefit together in Christian education programs? As a congregation, we too have the privilege and responsibility to share our faith stories and support these persons as they learn and grow. We pray for God's guidance as we help them belong and serve as Christians. Loving God, we give thanks for the Bible, your gift to be used for our learning. Help us to hear those words, understand them, and be changed by them, so that in your time, we may become more like Jesus Christ. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you.
All right. Let's give them a round of applause for this great day. All right. As the parents sit down, I ask all the children if they will come forward with their backpacks, if they have them. Come on. You're going to sit right there? Sammy, where are you going to sit? You want to sit right here next to Lexi? Good job. Good morning. Well, you know what? I brought my backpack too. And in my backpack, I have something very special. Are you ready? There's always something special in Ms. Laura's backpack. Here we go. I hear laughing from behind. Are you ready? Look what I brought. Dun, dun, dun. A light bulb. Now, not everybody's going to have a light bulb in their backpack. But the reason why I brought it today was I learned something pretty awesome this week. I learned something about Thomas Edison. You'll learn about Thomas Edison in school. Have you learned about Thomas Edison? Electricity. He didn't really create the light bulb, but you know what he did? Do you see the wires? See all the wires in the light bulb? You know what? I learned this week that he took over 6,000 different wires to learn how to make the light bulb work. Did you know that? And another tidbit, if you eat 30 Oreos after school for a year, you come up with 6,000 Oreos. Just a little tidbit too. So, but you know what? You know what is so awesome about this? Is what I learned about Thomas Edison was that he had perseverance. That he didn't stop with just one wire or two wires. That he continued to use all different wires till he got it right. And as we're in school, we may be stuck on something. We may be stuck on a math problem. Or we may be stuck on doing a puzzle. Or we may be stuck doing something. But you know what? We need to stick to it and continue to get it right, don't we? And so as we're talking about going back to school, and we brought our backpacks today, because we need to have God as we go through this, don't we? We need to have God as we go through every day, as we learn new things, as we have the perseverance to go through different things like Thomas Edison did with the wires for the light bulb. So as today, I want us to take our backpacks in our hands or on our backs, and we're going to pray over our backpacks. And then our little giveaway today is a backpack tag that I want you to put on your backpack, because it says God's got your back. And on the other side, it has Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "Have not I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Because he is. He's with you every day as you go to school and you learn. And you learn how to stick with it. So let's pray. Can you all sit down for just a minute, Sammy? Let's pray. Dear God, as we have our backpacks with us, keep us learning. We ask that you guide our feet, guide our hearts, and guide our minds. And we ask that you bless us through the school year and remind us to stick with it through those tough times. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
The psalmist calls us to cast our burdens on God, and God will sustain us. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty God, always loving and forgiving, always compassionate and affirming, we bring our prayers to you. Help us. Help us cast off our anxieties and fears to be fully present in you now. Center us. Prepare our hearts as we breathe out our stress and breathe in your grace. Keep us close. Help us to turn to each other, to give and receive, to build up instead of tearing down. And forgive us when we think more highly of ourselves than we should. Help us, O God, to walk humbly with you, following the example of Christ. Remind us that we're here to serve, not to be served. Father, we don't know what this day holds for us, what opportunities or obstacles lie before us. Our prayer is that you will help us to make more of this day than we made of yesterday. When someone looks lonely or in need of help, may we be there, offering love and support. Send us to feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, comfort the sick, console the sorrowing, welcome the stranger, creating unity, loving our neighbors, and building up the church. Oh, help us, dear God, to work towards the day when at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And now we join our voices together as taught by your Son, our Savior, to pray the prayer he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. This morning, we bless the backpacks as we send our young people off to school. Right now, 7 in 10 Arkansas fourth graders don't read proficiently. But we can change that with Arkansas Kids Read. We need 5 volunteers to tutor for an hour a week, helping them focus on comprehension and their reading skills. And those who improve their reading skills have a higher chance, a higher percentage of finishing high school and going on to college. We have the opportunity to do that. If you're interested, see me or Jenny Curris after the service, and we have the contact information for this program. It's a wonderful opportunity to help our young people. Let us pray. Dear God, there are so many needs in the world and in our community, and we're privileged to be a part of the solution to those needs. Bless our ministries. Bless the people that we help. May all of us feel your compassion and your grace. Strengthen us for the work ahead. In Christ's holy name, amen.
Remain standing for our hymn of meditation, hymn 347, Spirit Song.
This morning, I've made a slight adjustment to our scripture reading. We will be reading from the 30th Psalm. This morning, just verses 1 and 2, 6 through 8, and 11 through 12. May the people of God be enriched in this hearing and reading of God's holy word, taken from excerpts of Psalms 30. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast drawn me up, and has not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried to thee for help. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By thy favor, O Lord, thou hast established me as a strong mountain. Thou didst hide thy face, for I was dismayed. To thee, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made my supplication. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing, and thou hast loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may praise thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to thee forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. We continue today in our series, Back to School, Back to Church. We've been examining the signs that our children and adults observe, especially as we think about our young people going to school. Last week, we looked at observing the crosswalk and how that sign can be applied to our faith. Today, we remember how careful and cautious we need to be when we come across a sign that says children at play, understanding that we are God's children at play. And how do we incorporate that concept into our faith? Children at play. In our neighborhood a few years ago, some neighbors took it upon themselves to protect their children and their grandchildren by putting up a sign, "Children at Play." And to emphasize their point, they strategically had placed a couple of speed bumps close to a family that they deemed were the speedsters of the neighborhood. This family's name, the Hilliards. Now, Tony says he could never quite decide, seeing as Katie was already in college at this point and was rarely home. He couldn't quite decide if those indicators were to point out Kara's driving habits or my own, because certainly they wouldn't be his. Well, Kara has grown up and moved away. I only live there part-time. Oh, it gets better. The sign is still up, and the family that had it put there has moved to Hot Springs. We're not bitter. Children at Play. Children were created to play. Think about it. From the time that they are tiny toddlers and they begin to learn how to walk, escalating from crawling to standing up on their own. They walk and they conquer that. Then they run and they conquer that. Then they skip and they jump. They struggle to learn and grow more. I've always believed that God in his infinite wisdom made toddlers that are learning these skills kind of short to the ground, so that when they stumble, the fall is not quite so difficult. Yes, God created children to play, and they learn all kinds of things in their experiences, stretching their imaginations, finding it difficult to just contain themselves. One Sunday in church, a youngster was having that difficult time containing themselves, entertaining themselves. Oh, the parents were trying every trick in the book that they knew to keep them quiet and still. And finally, the dad could take it no more. And he grabbed up the little tyke and went up the center aisle of the sanctuary. And they had just about made it to the safety of the narthex when the little tyke turned around and screamed to the congregation, "Pray for me, please pray for me." In today's text, the psalmist David writes of the various experiences of a child of God, issues of illness, and the trust for God to heal him, the times of weeping, as well as the times of rejoicing, where he reached out in trust to God. The times when he knew God was disappointed in him, the psalmist writes about, as well as the times when he felt like he was in God's favor. And all these times, David felt God's presence guiding him all the way, loving him. Hear the joy in David's words. "You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my clothes of mourning and instead clothed me with joy. Oh, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. Oh, Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever." This morning I want to think with you about three things concerning our being children at play in our walk of faith. The first thing is this: the nature of a child is the key component of who we should be in Christ. As I listen to these words of David in Psalm 30, I hear the heart of a child. David was many things: shepherd, warrior, writer, harpist, eventually king. But in all these and more, David kept his childlike qualities to depend on God. His sins, of which read like the headlines in a tabloid magazine, adultery, conspiracy, murder, did not prevent him from seeking the most sincerest of repentances. And although repentance did not render perfection, he grew in God's grace and became the greatest known king to all the Hebrew people and all of Israel, the forerunner to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Jesus the Christ taught us much about the idea of children at play. If you go to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, the 13th and 14th verses, people were bringing children to Jesus to bless them. The disciples thought this was a waste of time, the waste of the great master's time. Children, after all, were low class. They would be tolerated but not heard. When Jesus saw his own disciples being rude to the children, he became indignant. "Let the children come to me and do not keep them away, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child shall not enter it." Jesus took this opportunity to point out to the disciples and to all who were witnessing this episode that the realm of God's presence commends those who are eager like children, soaking up knowledge like a sponge like children, wanting to help and to grow and to learn like children, and to share like children. A child's heart is pure. They cannot stand to sit there and watch another child suffer. They cannot stand it if another child does not have food to eat like they have food to eat. They can't stand it if they have toys to play with and the idea that there's another child anywhere that doesn't have toys to play with. They can't stand it to experience laughter of the soul and smile of the face, knowing that there are tears on another child's face. A child who does not naturally feel these things more than likely learned from an adult how to be selfish. Proverbs 20:11 says, "Even a child is known by his actions, by whether his conduct is pure and right." And we have to know that early on in our lives, our personalities are established. And later on, by our actions, then our reputations are established. As children, we are known either as precocious or precious, spoiled or sweet, hardworking or lazy. These stick with us by and large unless we become aware and take the initiative to change and become better. Because the second thing I want to mention this morning is that initiative marks a movement toward maturity. Ah, such a politically correct word. We no longer want to be called older. We're just more mature. We no longer want to be labeled senior citizen, but mature. It has a nice ring to it. But this maturity is exactly what Apostle Paul is speaking of in 1 Corinthians 13:11. "When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now, there's no mistaking this childish reasoning. Many adults still operate in childish reasoning, especially in certain situations. This childish reasoning to a child is very authentic, very real. I was serving a church. A little boy named Jonathan was visiting with his grandmother, who was a member of my church. Now, Jonathan and our older daughter, Katie, at that time were in the same daycare. Jonathan knew me as Katie's mom. So imagine his surprise and confusion somewhat when he comes walking into the sanctuary and he sees me enter to begin the service. And as I'm coming into the pulpit area, standing there with my robe and stole, very much like I am today, imagine the surprise of myself and the congregation when Jonathan says out loud, "Grandma, why is Katie's mom standing up there in a black nightgown?" Childish reasoning. Oh my. As a child grows, so does their understanding and reasoning. Things begin to click. And those questions, which we had successfully up until that point been able to avoid, now have begun to be asked of us. And those questions need answers. In life, children are trying their very best to understand the spiritual side of life. The big questions: who is God? How did he get here? What's heaven like? Why do people have to die anyway? Will my pet be with me in heaven? Then those questions become deeper. Why do good things happen to bad people, and sometimes bad things happen to good people? And if God loves all people, then why should anyone have to suffer? We're struggling with those why questions all the time, my friends. And those people who do not develop a trust in their one true God are going to why themselves to death. Because the truth of the matter is, God is the only one who knows all the answers. That would be why he is God. And it makes us his children to trust and lean on him in love and trust through the questions. Perhaps a rather poor analogy, but somewhat relatable, would be, is like going to pay for a movie. You already know the plot. You already know how every scene is going to be played out. And you know the conclusion. You're bored. You're not engaged. You're not involved. Because you already know the whole thing, how it all plays out. In life, if we woke up every morning and knew exactly how every day was going to play out, and we knew exactly every word that was going to be said, and we were programmed to know exactly every action, every thought that we were going to have, what would be the point to live? There's no need to seek God at all. There's no need to trust that which we already know. Trust involves hope. Trust involves believing and that which we do not know. And finally, children may be at play, but they are desperately looking for a role model, for a hero, someone to look up to and to esteem to be more like. In Luke 10:21, there is a marvelous episode where Jesus is very aware that his time on earth is drawing to a close. And he's ready to send the disciples out now, equipped with the power to perform miracles of healing, equipped with some knowledge, some experience of the gospel. And he sends them out, but he does so with some explicit instructions. He tells them to rely on God for their provisions. And he tells them about the hospitality that they will receive. And he tells them about the rejection that they may very well receive. And should they receive it, to shake the dust off their feet and move on. When they came back from their successful evangelism blitz, they were elated. And Jesus cautioned them to not glory in themselves, but give glory to God. Jesus said, "Do not rejoice in the demons which submitted to you, but rejoice, your names are written in heaven." And Jesus praised God and said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children." Jesus was basically saying that spiritual truth is not, if at all, given just to the religious elite, but that spiritual truth is given to those who have the desire in their heart to know it and embrace it and to share it. These disciples, they were not mature in the faith, but they were growing like children in God, still very young in their faith. They were fishermen, not biblical scholars. Yet Jesus entrusted his message and power to spread the gospel. We must do the same. That is our mission. Those are not just mere words. That's not just a preacher phrase. As we grow in the faith, we must then offer the faith. I've shared with you before that the one person in my life that I attribute to helping shape who I am as a Christian was my grandmother. She was not just my granny that lived next door, but she was my spiritual buddy. She seized every opportunity to help me know Christ. We prayed at nighttime before we went to bed. Even when I was a teenager and would come in from football games or whatever and go to spend the night with her, we would pray. She would stay up to pray with me. And in the morning, she would prepare breakfast, and our ritual was to read the upper room. And then she had this little miniature loaf of bread called the bread of life. And out of the middle of it was a rectangular cutout, was filled with slender cardboard pieces with scriptures on them. And she made kind of a game as to which one to pick out, especially when my cousin was visiting. But it was her way, her clever way, I might add, to help me become familiar with the Bible, to help me claim certain verses that I would remember from my childhood and carry with me to this point in life. She talked about our church. She talked about the importance of her work in the church. And of course, she set the standard with what was appropriate Christian conversation and what was not, manners and all those other things. But lest you think she was a stick in the mud, she was fun. We would play games, yes, even cards. Watch TV shows, and she didn't monitor them too much. And just have the most wonderful time. And what I remember about my grandmother is setting that example of showing that being a Christian is a wonderful way to live. I was aware she could be sad. She missed my grandfather that used to be her pastor. She missed him terribly. Even though during those times of my life he had been gone for 15, 20 years. I was aware that she was sad at times. I was aware that sometimes she could be concerned about her future, her health. But one thing I noted very strongly is her inner joy never wavered. Now, I share all that to just say, my grandmother made a very intentional move to impart Christian faith to her granddaughter. My question today is, whether you have children or whether you don't, whether you have grandchildren or whether you don't, to whom are you entrusting and imparting the Christian faith? There are children at play everywhere in our church, our schools, our neighborhoods, our community, our own homes. Some are actually children, others are older, but childlike. How seriously, my friends, are you watching yourself? How seriously are you watching how you are modeling the faith, teaching the faith, imparting the faith? You are a living legacy. You are passing on the inheritance of your Christian walk to someone else. My question this morning is, who is it? Hopefully it's not just one. Who are they? There are children at play. Proceed with caution. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our hymn of commitment is Rejoice, the Lord is King, 715. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, feel that point in your life where you're ready to make the decision to profess your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or to renew that profession, or would simply like to come forward and to pray, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing now, 715, Rejoice, the Lord is King. on that note of rejoicing, I know that you rejoice with me to welcome this morning into our church family, Scott and Donna Broyles. And Donna comes to us by transfer from First United Methodist Church Bryant. And Scott comes to us by transfer from another denomination. So we just simply honor his baptism and his profession of faith, but do ask him the vow of United Methodism. And Scott, will you be loyal through Christ, the United Methodist Church, with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your witness? All right. And your service. I left that one out. It is wonderful to have it. And we have grandchildren here, and their names are?
Keyston and Cameron.
Keyston and Cameron. Cameron, we welcome you as well and hope to see you. Miss Laura will get a hold of you in a big way and get you engaged in lots of activities here. So we welcome you as well. Please receive the benediction. And now, God, we thank you that this is a day that you have made and that we do rejoice in it. We pray, O Father, that we will go forward in the spirit of your love and grace and in the fellowship and communion of your Holy Spirit and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.